We are clear and ready for takeoff on the National Hour here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in CEO and President of Hockey Operations of the Edmonton Oilers, Jeff Jackson. In the meantime, the dust settled a little bit in Vancouver for you guys. I think I started the show, our National Hour, yesterday with a hypothetical where I don't think many Vancouver Canuck fans were too happy at the thought.
Riley for Miller.
Many thought I was a complete idiot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the record, hypothetical means like it's just a thought. There was no thoughts of a real no movement clauses, whether or not Riley or JT Miller would lift their no move was never brought into the equation. It was just simply of, could you put a package together that could switch these two? Could you build a package around moving these two?
What's funny about people reacting like that to that is that people who follow sports talk radio presumably are the same ones in their hockey dressing rooms having ridiculous conversations like this. Like, it'll never happen, but would you do McDavid for Eichel and Stone?
Got the fellas going at hockey last night, but they're all talking about the take.
I know, but it's because they're very emotional out west with this situation. I don't even think they have one nerve left to even talk about it.
Pretty raw,
right? It is like it's right to the bone.
Yeah, I will say
they don't want to hear it. They just shut your mouths, move on.
So yesterday you went on Sportsnet Central and said about Rutherford. You commented on his comments.
All I said was I just saw no upside for Jimmy to go on air without at least dangling a little bit of a carrot to say, we think we're close or we're going to come to some sort of understanding or resolution, but to just pretty much like validate the things that many people have known for 6 or 8 weeks now and has left everybody going, oh my God, how long is this going to go on? Mm-hmm.
You know, you said something not about Rutherford, but about Miller yesterday, where you said the best thing he could say is two words. No comment.
Derek, do we have
no
that?
No comment.
Do we have Kip saying that yesterday?
That's when you turn around and you use the two most famous words in media history.
I played the fifth. Oh,
no comment.
Oh.
So this no comment would have been better than what JT Miller did December 23rd. So one of the things that I did say last night on Sportsnet Central was that the problem with Jimmy going public is it just completely ignites the media right back to Rick Tocchet to answer and every player, right? So let's just go to JT Miller quickly. On his comments yesterday.
What's your reaction to Jim Rutherford's comments yesterday or this week on the situation with you and Petey?
I don't have one.
You don't have any comments?
No.
Is there still all good between you two guys?
I'm not commenting on this.
Okay. Attaboy, JT. Great job, buddy.
PR professional Nick Kiprios.
Thanks for listening. No comment.
It's on in the training room.
Okay. From no comment to plenty of comments, let's bring in Jeff Jackson, President, Hockey Operations of the Edmonton Oilers. It's never in your equation, eh? No comment?
Oh, periodically. It depends on what's being asked, I guess.
Well,
how are you guys doing?
We're well. Thanks for joining with us. Jeff, really appreciate it. I know you're watching afar as everyone else, not just Vancouver, but everybody in the league. But, man, it does does give you an appreciation when things are kind of in harmony and things are going okay, right? I mean, it's not always that way as us with players, either in junior or pro, even minor hockey. It's hard sometimes to get 20 guys on the same page, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you've got, you know, on every team, you got lots of different personalities and guys at different points in their lives, whether they're single or married or veteran players or rookies or whatever. So different countries, you know, different cultures. So it's inevitable that there's going to sometimes be, it's not going to be all that harmonious. But, you know, the good thing for us in Edmonton is that we seem like we have a lot of good vibes with the team, and sort of after a slow start, the guys are just sort of drawing on their experience from last year and are settled in, and it's a really good group who all like each other and support each other, and so it's good in Edmonton right now.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Because you look back at that start of the year, like you guys now look like the team everyone thought you would be. I think a lot of the gambling sites have the Oilers as cup faves, and like this looks like the team we thought the Oilers were going to be. When you look back at that weird start, like how do you make sense of why it took a sec to get on your square feet here?
Well, I mean, it's never as simplistic as just looking at the record, right? I mean, yeah. We came out of the blocks 0-3, and before the season started, we had, you know, all the gambling sites and everybody who was, you know, giving their opinion about who was going to buy for the cup. We were at a lot of people's top of lists, and you know that has nothing to do with us. We're not saying that. We're just trying to get ready for the season. Our players are going through camp and trying to get ready through exhibition games, and you know, it's a bit of a hangover. A long season, you go right to game 7. Ultimately, we didn't win, so it's disappointing. Summer goes pretty quick, and then you're back at it. And as a player, you're sort of going, okay, well, we did this last year. We got to play 82 of these games, plus the preseason games, plus whatever the playoffs end up being. So it could be another 2 months. It's a long road. So I think at the beginning of the year, it's not an excuse for any players, but it just takes you a while to sort of get back into the groove of it. And Bill Zito and I were talking at the Board of Governors meeting in December about he felt like his team had the same sort of thing, and they won. So it just you got to refocus. You got to get everybody in sync. And it took us a while. It took us until November, really, before we started to play more of what we expected from the beginning of the year.
You're listening to President of Hockey Operations for the Edmonton Oilers, Jeff Jackson. So I think this time last year, you guys were running like a 16-game winning streak here and within a game of winning a Stanley Cup. When you look at your team today, where it's at, and I factor in the experience that you've gone through since then to now, do you like your team better today than you even did last season?
I do, actually. I think there's a different maturity to the team, and we're getting contributions from, you know, different players. We had a bit of turnover in our lineup, but all the guys who've come in have settled in and really found a niche and a role. And we're getting, obviously, Leon is playing probably the best hockey of his career. 200-foot game, you know, heavy on in the D end, and you know, really, really great on the offensive end, which he's always been. And Connor's doing Connor things, and after a slow start, you know, guys like Zach Hyman and Nuge and other guys are starting to score more. So I really like our team, and I think going through adversity is how you build resilience. And it's cliche, but it's absolutely true that you have to go through some of that stuff. The hard stuff with disappointment, maybe to sort of like keep continuing to grow as a team. And I feel like that's where we're at right now.
We had Bill Guerin on before you earlier today, and he said he likes to be active at the trade deadline. He said, I hope the other 31 GMs are listening. I don't know if Stan Bowman is listening today, but I'm sure you'll be working hand in hand with him as you head towards there. Is there something with this roster, you say, got it, you know, I like our team, but I know what it's like in the playoffs. I just like to shore up X with your roster the way it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you listen to everybody early in the season, they would have said we needed to go out and get, you know, a top 4D. I think that that sort of sentiment has changed somewhat, just given that our defensive group as a whole have played extremely well. They've not hurt us in any games this year. Paul Coffey and Mark Stewart and Chris, the whole coaching staff's done a great job. But Coff, you know, is the D coach, and he's really got those guys playing with confidence. And the thing I like about our D is they're all interchangeable. Like we're using all kinds of different pairs. So guys are switching from right to left side, and there's just a feeling like whoever I'm out there with, I feel good about it. So, you know, John Klingberg, we signed a couple of weeks ago. He's going to get into the lineup here this week, I think, probably at some point. And, you know, hopefully it may probably take him some time. We got to be a bit patient. He hasn't played for, you know, a year and a half. But he was a heck of a player, and he says he feels better than he's felt in 5, 6, 7 years physically. So we've got some time to assess how he plays when he comes back. And, you know, we're always looking to make improvements, probably, you know, adding maybe a bit of size lower down in our lineup is something we were, you know, looking at. But there's a lot of teams still in the hunt, so I'm not really sure how it's going to play out as far as teams moving players. There's a handful of teams that might be thinking right now that that's what they're going to do. But beyond those handful of teams, I think there's so many guys and their teams in the race that, you know, it might end up being a quiet deadline.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Klingberg and what he can bring if he's whatever was bothering him with the surgeries, the hip surgeries, if he's finally free and clear here. But is this, do you believe that this is more than just a relatively safe gamble on him? Do you really believe that he could regain maybe a top four status?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I look at it, and I know Stan does too, and our staff, our coaching staff. Like he was a top, you know, defenseman in the league, and it wasn't that long ago. And when you have hip issues that cause mobility issues and pain and everything else, like, you know, you guys both played, and your hips are pretty critical for not only skating forward, but pivoting, especially for D, going back to get pucks and turning up ice and everything. So I think that, you know, him being healthy is the first step. And if he can, you know, slowly but surely regain his timing and his confidence, you know, we're hopeful that he's a player that can really contribute for us. He seems like a great guy. He's fit in the locker room really well. The guys like having around. He seems happy. So, yeah, we're optimistic that he can come in and contribute and be a part of our mix.
So there's Klingberg, and then there's Evander Kane. Like, where is he in all of this? And could he feel like a trade deadline pickup for you at some point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's sort of up in the air as far as timing with Evander. You know, he had major surgery on both hips in fall. And at that time, it was a sort of a 4 to 6 month recovery from what the doctors told us and what they told Evander. And then he had this knee issue pop up, which wasn't like a hockey related or workout injury. It was just something that had to be removed from his knee. So that sort of just set him back 2 or 3 weeks, probably in his rehab from the original surgeries. So from a timing perspective, I know he's, you know, in with our staff every day. I believe he went on the ice yesterday for the first time. It's a slow process, again, with hips, like same as with Klingberg. Like when you're doing sort of major surgical things in that area, you got to let everything heal, then you got to build everything back up from strength. You got to be in game shape. So from a timing perspective, it's sort of up in the air for us right now. We're optimistic that he can come back and contribute also, but we just don't know from a timing perspective.
Jeff, you have a lot of experience on the agent side as well. And you also now in this role, and obviously you've known for years, but you know the value of having these tentpole superstars in your team. So when you saw what happened with Colorado and Rantanen and them moving on from him, what was your reaction to how that unfolded?
Well, I mean, it's surprising sometimes when a player of that stature gets moved, but every team has their own, you know, sort of philosophy. Everybody has their own, you know, salary structure that they want to abide by. I don't know exactly what Chris and Joe were thinking in Colorado, but obviously they felt that that was a move they had to make. You know, that may be something that happens as we go forward here with a rising cap and teams having, you know, not necessarily following the upper limit, but having their internal caps that they work off of. So whether it's a trend or whether it's something that starts, I'm not sure. But anytime a player of that stature gets traded, clearly it wasn't an issue with the player as far as, you know, the player himself, both on and off the ice. You know, grade A from what everybody says about him. So it was comes down to a business decision, and they made it. And, you know, that was their call.
Hey, Jax, just watching that salary cap, like, go through the skylights here, you must think that you just got a bargain at $14 million for Leon Draisaitl.
Well, I mean, Leon's a top player in the league, and, you know, we wanted to get him, bring him back and have him here for the rest of his career. So, you know, when we got the deal done, we were, whether the cap went up or not, we were happy because, you know, Leon was going to be a part of the Edmonton Oilers for the next 9 years. So this year and plus eight more. So I don't know. I don't look at it as a bargain, Kipper. I look at it more as like he's appropriately placed in the league right now. And that's always, that market is always moving somewhat. Just like Nate MacKinnon signed, you know, a couple years ago at 2.6 was just over top of Connor's cap hit. So it's continually moving. But yeah, we're just really happy to have Leon. He's a hell of a player and a great leader for us.
Do you think that's going to change like the perception of contracts to more of what you're talking about? Because right now we're 2/3 of the teams within whatever it is, a couple mil of the salary cap, you have to have value contracts, people whose play exceeds the dollar amount. Do you feel like now getting people paid appropriately might be okay as long as you have enough good players and value suddenly becomes less important?
I don't think value ever goes out of the importance in signing players. Like you don't, you know, just because you have more cap room doesn't mean that you want to go out and spend money and make mistakes on players. So I think our analysis is not going to change. We're going to try to find value players, whether they're veterans or bringing younger players into the lineup, either through, you know, development, better development in our program, or, you know, going outside and signing younger free agents, finding free agents in Europe, what have you. So I think that's not going to change our philosophy. It gives you a bit of breathing room, but doesn't mean that you can change your philosophy and just say, you know, we can pay that guy a bit more because we got more room. I think you just stick to the same philosophy and you get the guys done at the number that you think is appropriate.
So we've got the Four Nations tournament coming up soon, led by your Connor McDavid. So what's it going to be like for Jeff Jackson watching these games?
You want him blocking lots of shots?
Yes. Going down and blocking shots. I mean, listen, it's the first time we're shutting down the league here during in season, and now comes the stretch right after it. Just your thoughts on how comfortable you're going to be feeling watching one of the best players in the world, you know, not playing and giving it all in the for Canada, not Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to play for our country and whatever the format is. I think that all the teams have top players on all the teams across the league. So I don't think I'm any different than any other president or GM and stands the same. It's like, you know, we hope that everything is okay as far as injuries, the games, you know, injuries come along unexpectedly. So, you know, knock on wood, none of that stuff happens. I'm excited to watch the hockey. I wouldn't say this is best on best because some of the best players obviously are not playing in it. Leon being one of them, but still it's going to be some amazing hockey, and these guys are always, they're highly competitive. That's why they're the best players on their teams, and that's why they represent the country. So I'm excited to watch it. From a fan's perspective, it should be great. It's good for the league and the union to come together on this sort of thing. So, but yeah, in the back of our minds, every team's the same. We just want our guys to come out of it on the other side and be ready for the home stretch.
As they were making the decisions on goaltending for Team Canada, Stu Skinner was not at his best point of his season or of his career, but he's been really good since that time of year. Did you see Logan Thompson's six-year contract extension and feel like it had any relevance to any future conversations with Stu Skinner?
Yeah, well, you know, Justin, every deal affects other deals. So, when you see these contracts, you sort of say, okay, well, there's one that we can look at and sort of use or not use, or it's a marker, I guess, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I mean, Skins, it didn't have a great start along with the team. We didn't play great in front of him, and he would be the first to admit that he wasn't on the top of his game. And I think he would have probably, if he started the season the way he finished last year in the semifinals and finals, he played like outstanding for us. So he probably would have, you know, been on this team. But look, he's going to have a heavy workload going down the stretch, and not being there, he's got a brand new baby, a couple days old. So I think it's probably the best thing that happened for him is that he's going to have the 2 weeks or week and a bit off and spend some family time and get some rest and be ready for our stretch.
Hey, Jeff, we're waiting on possible replacements for Team Canada after Pietrangelo decided not to go. Evan Bouchard is among one of them. Do you see a lot of upside for him to participate in something like that, or would you just rather wrap him in bubble paper?
I don't think Bruce wants to get wrapped in bubble wrap, but I mean, I think that playing in tournaments like this or events like this with the best players, like, you elevate your game and you're around the personalities and you know, Bush is lucky because he's around a whole bunch of guys in our locker room who are amazing veteran leaders like Connor and Leon and Nursey and everybody else. So it's not foreign to him, but playing in these things is special, and it would be if he was to be somebody that they thought warranted, you know, a replacement spot, I'm sure he'd be happy, and we'd probably come out of it on the other end with a player that had evolved his game a little bit, just whether it's psychologically or physically or whatever. So, yeah, if he gets the call, like, obviously we would support it.
Awesome stuff. Jax, really appreciate you joining us. Before we let you go, how's my Rosedale golf buddy there? Paul Coffey there. I heard he took a high hard one today in practice, was and bleeding.
Yeah, I just saw that he had gotten a puck or something and had gone off. So I haven't talked to him. I'm sure he's fine. You know Coffey.
Oh yeah.
He would blow it off and say, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. But I
guarantee you, it won't shut him up. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, he's done a great job for us, so hopefully he's okay. Oh, his noggin's okay.
Indeed, he has done a great job. Jax, thanks for doing this, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Jeff Jackson, president of hockey operations for the Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah.
It's funny, look at Stu Skinner. His numbers have been good for a few years now.
Up and down to start usually, and then has pretty good.
But like
finishes.
You know, 22, he's a 913, he's a 914 the next year, 905 last year, 902 this year. It's good numbers.
Is Leon Draisaitl the runaway favorite for the MVP right now?
I can't give him the runaway tag. I think he's one of a couple. It. I think Quinn Hughes is.
I know.
And
I know
Hellebuck.
I know Connor missed 3 games because of the suspension, but even when he was in the lineup, there were some nights where Leon Draisaitl was the best hockey player on the planet.
Yeah. I'm a huge Leon fan. And part of the reason, like, if Quinn Hughes had won 2 Hart trophies already, I think I'd probably be like, oh, it's Leon's. Like, I'm trying to fight that, like, voter fatigue that people get with voting. Because he is exceptional, and I don't want to take it away from him if he is the best guy. I think the best forward for sure so far.
I think the three finalists are pretty easy. The three guys you just mentioned, Hellebuck, Quinn Hughes, and Draisaitl.
Hellebuck is like, his numbers are off the charts compared to the best guy.
And then you give it to Draisaitl. Draisaitl is so good.
They could have grinded him a little bit like Colorado did with Rantanen.
Draisaitl?
Edmonton. They could have.
Why?
Exactly. That's my whole point.
Exactly what Jackson's just saying.
That's my whole point. Yeah. They could have, and they said, no, not with this guy.
Yeah.
Irreplaceable. Go out. Even if you think that you're going to, don't give him 14. Go get two $7 million guys. I hate that math equation that people give.
I know.
It's horrible. That guy, you cannot find.
Well, and also, it's such a ridiculous thing, because it's like, who are the 7 million guys that are available? Who would you even be talking about? That's not how this works.
But I also think that Draisaitl is a lot better player than Rantanen. Like, Rantanen's really good. But
they're
like,
different.
They're different.
They're different.
Sure, but, like, you know, I think 32 of 32 general managers are taking Leon Draisaitl over Rantanen, correct?
They're different.
And, you know, I was thinking today that a lot of the assessments we do about players is all about who's better, this or this, and it's apples to grapes, and it's oranges to Cheerios, and it's not equal analysis when you're doing player to player. They're different. They're different players. But you're right. Everyone wants Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I can see a world looking at this at Natchez in Colorado where it really works. Like, he's fast, and McKinnon's fast.
He's looked good, too.
And if the two of them are humming together, and all of a sudden he's getting all those kind of second assists that come with playing with one of the best players in the world, you can see Natchez's numbers going up.
They didn't like him, though, in Carolina.
Four assists in three games.
They didn't like him. Yeah, they probably don't think he drives a bus. My point is, they're different, Rantanen and Natchez, and sometimes it's not about better. They just might fit in different places better.
And you got him for another year at 6.5. So their philosophy is, yes, if we got at least next year with Natchez at 6.5, we're going to go get a $7 million guy, and that'll saw off the 12 or 14.
The best example of this is the Leafs said, what if we get rid of Kadri and we take care of it with a guy who's 80% of his value at forward and 80% of his value at D, Kerfoot and Barry, and all of a sudden you go, all that happened was we don't have Nazem Kadri.
Are you giving it to Kyle Dubas right now?
I mean, it's a bad trade.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Game time?
Game time, baby.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Lighter night on the ice tonight, but the first game I'm looking at is the LA Kings in Florida to take on the Panthers, something we'll talk about a little bit after the break. But Drew Doughty makes his return tonight after being out for multiple months, I think breaking his ankle in the preseason. The Florida Panthers are -150 favorites in that game. The LA Kings are +125 on the money line. On the other side, the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Minnesota Wild. Big faves on home ice, as you would imagine. They are -160 favorites against the Minnesota Wild. The out-of-conference midweek games, for anyone who's ever been a Leaf fan knows, listening to this, they're not always the best performances by the Leafs, but feels like they're in need of a good one. So I'd maybe stay away from that one a little bit because I don't really know which way to go. And the other one that I'm looking at later on, the Utah Hockey Club is hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Utah Hockey Club are -150 on the money line. Pittsburgh, +125 on the other side.
What are the Penguins going to do?
Well, we could talk about it again.
Yeah, no, we beat that up.
Anyways.
Sid, we'll get into it after the break, but Sid addressed it.
He did.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was game time. Visit my Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take that break, and when we return, we'll talk about Sid's comments and how much he's had it up to here with the trade deadline.
Did you see
comments?
Did you see Anderson and Tom Wilson going on?
Yeah,
yesterday?
I did.
Oh my god,
we have to talk about that. Yeah. It was amazing.
We will, including a very high-priced goalie on waivers today,
which
we will discuss. We'll tell you who at almost $6 million. That more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. All right, I know you did this. We talked to Drew Doughty, but what's the over-under as he is playing in one of five games tonight against the Florida Panthers? What's the over-under on minutes played tonight for this guy? Because this guy is not like any other defenseman.
He doesn't like to not play. I don't know, 16 and a half?
He leads the league every year in ice time.
Yes.
I'll say 22.
I'll say 20.
Right into it.
25.
Jeez, you guys think that he's just going to be the guy?
I think he's just going to look like he hasn't stopped playing.
I think he's eager to prove that he's
I think he's good to go, and I think they're going to lean on him right away.
Well, when you have him on the bench, Hiller's just going to be like, well, I mean, it's Drew Doughty, so again, yeah, go out again. Like, it's like, I don't know, unless there's a minutes restrictions like they would have in the NBA or something, you're just going to put him out there like he's Drew Doughty, and you're going to live with the results. So I bet you he plays 22, 23 as well.
Yeah, I suppose. Big news.
Well, okay,
Frank Saravalli and Josh Yeo, and obviously there's some sort of press release because everyone's reporting it. Utah Hockey Club is down to three names. I think there's going to be some sort of fan vote. That would be the Utah HC, keeping Hockey Club, the Utah Mammoth, and the Utah Wasatch, which the Wasatch Mountains, I believe, are in Utah. So that's the information.
They're going to keep Hockey Club.
I'll take Mammoth. Give me the Mammoth.
Hockey Club's so much better than those other two.
It's just, they're all hockey clubs. You know, it's not a name. So,
but then will they do a rebrand? Or will they just stick with their original?
No.
Fresh chances still, fresh letters and real logo.
Oh, yeah. And then, if they keep it, then they keep it. Like if they're the hockey club,
they should make their mascot a club.
They're losing an opportunity for new merchandise.
Yeah, which is a good reason why maybe they won't. They would still redo everything. But I'm sure they're going to keep some semblance of these colors.
Mammoth isn't bad.
I don't mind Mammoth.
Mammoth's not bad.
Here come the Mammoth. Woolly Mammoth, mountains, cold, snow.
But would they do a cartoony logo? Or like, I just feel like that's a very 2000s, early 2000s thing that you could really overdo.
Kraken.
You know, Kraken. I don't know. I just, Hockey Club lends to me as a Jersey guy that could be a much more classic, like more like not reinvent the wheel Jersey. Mammoth to me feels like something they could get a little nuts with, and it could be a really bad jersey.
You would have to not go cartoony.
Yeah, like that's exactly my fear, is that it would just be terrible.
Sitting here 30-some years into the Toronto Raptors tenure, don't do it.
Yeah. Just be careful with Mammoth is all I'm saying. Anyways.
Okay, before we went to break, we talked about Rasmus Anderson and Tom Wilson last night, Calgary versus Washington.
So should we give the background on what happened?
Yeah, go ahead.
Adam Klapka got called up, 6'8" from the minors, hit Wilson.
Like, hit him good.
I mean, he's huge.
Yep.
Wilson goes down, and on the way up, Klapka gave him a little something to the...
Cross-check.
Yeah, cross-check to the kidneys. And Wilson held the kidneys and laid there and drew a penalty. And it really wasn't that bad. But, you know, he drew a penalty. And so later, Wilson went and hit Rasmus Anderson and barely touched him. And Anderson held his kidney and went, and looked at Wilson, and Wilson didn't like it.
But it was funny.
That was very funny.
Oh, nice. We have here.
Got the video.
Here.
You caught me.
I'm telling you, I could hang with Rasmus.
But it was great.
He would be a riot, too. Him and Billy Guerin.
Wilson couldn't handle the size of Anderson's head. First off, he's making fun of him staring at the crowd. But he was...
Willie's pretty good, too, though.
Willie's balancing his helmet on top of his own head to reference the gigantic heed, the buffalo heed that old Anderson has. Look at this. His helmet just balancing on top.
Okay, that is solid entertainment.
It's the best. And right?
Those are characters.
Yeah.
You need more of that.
You do need more of that.
And I thought that... Because it's obviously we're doing the talking, so it's not an audio medium if you're watching that on Sportsnet or on YouTube. But the point of the building, it was really quiet in the building, so you heard Rasmus Anderson doing his like over the top, and then everybody like kind of laughed. It's a very weird dynamic in the building. I thought it was excellent.
I don't know if Wilson was embarrassed or something, but he was mad. He did not like how that played out.
The most important thing is they're willing participants to like get their noses dirty. That's how it starts.
Yeah. Yep. Right?
Someone's going to be mad at me next time I go out there. Who cares?
And on many nights, you don't have that emotional, physical engagement. Therefore, you don't ever get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like one has to follow the other.
Yeah. No, it's great. We need to encourage that. I actually think the league should do something like the PGA Tour with a player, with the PIP. What does it stand for?
Oh, yeah. The performance. Oh, my God.
It's like the player who's the most talked about online, who draws the most attention to the PGA Tour. They give them millions of dollars, and they encourage these guys.
I've never heard of this.
What?
Tiger, even when Tiger doesn't play, he wins it. This is the last, like, 3 years he's won it, and he's barely played.
It's over now.
They stopped doing it.
This year.
Since Liv died.
This is the year they've stopped doing it.
But they did it for a few years, and it was like, okay, you're most talked about. So it encouraged guys to be. Remember Koepka and Bryson had their whole public feud? Mm-hmm. A little bit related to that.
It was called the...
You lost me on that one.
Player Impact Program.
Player Impact.
All right, just keep it real. Nobody needs to be rewarded for stuff like that. That's just... It should be a natural part of the game.
I think encouraging these guys to come out of their shells is a good thing.
Oh, God. We've tried that already with the All-Star, skits.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I totally agree with you.
Those were disasters, guys. Disasters.
And it's kind of the same watching some of the mic'd up stuff like TGL a little bit, which is very good. And it's not bad. I'll be honest. But, like, it's a little awkward at times.
Well, they're kind of dorky golfer guys.
So Ryan Reeves had a quote today about this.
What did he say?
He said that he may go into media because in hockey, you're not allowed to say certain things or, you know, guys should come out of their shell and be more fun. And my take listening to that is, I hate to break it to you, these guys aren't that fun. It's fun in the dressing room, but, like, go around the room and who's it going to be?
You're talking about the golfers?
No, now I'm talking about the NHL guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few guys, but there's a reason Biz and Witt are huge hits. They're hilarious, big personalities.
Yeah.
There's not that many of those guys.
Yeah, but the stuff that they say, no one else can really get away with.
Right.
Right?
You're right.
Nobody could get away
with
it.
I'm telling you, you're right.
They got a green light that, and listen, you also have to make the commitment that, like, I mean, I'm not comfortable saying the things that they say on air. It's just like,
right.
You know, we got.
Well, I mean, if we were on an uncensored podcast on a different network, I'm sure we would say some different things.
I don't know, man.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not hanging on to a whole lot.
Hey, I got to ask you, this is a very inside radio question, but is it ever amazing to you that all three of us can just come on the air every day for 2 hours and none of us ever swear ever?
Oh, that's jinxy, but yes.
Because like in our pre-show meetings or talking before the show, it's like half swears. Anyways, continue.
My wife like would listen when I'm talking to another hockey guy, and she's like, like,
what's that about?
How many F-bombs can you drop?
Yeah, did I drop one?
I'm like, oh, really?
It's a seasoning, really? Salt and pepper.
Anyways.
As far as...
Willie would win the pit, by the way.
The golf? Are you into it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure I was going to be, but then I was watching it. My daughter needed something, and I was going away, and I was like, God, I got to pause this. Like, I kind of want to see what happens here.
Yeah.
The last one was really good.
It was.
And Rory, and Tom Kim is like a weirdo.
I'm still looking at it like I don't want to go to a golf simulator and watch others hit into a screen.
But the difference, the best,
there's several differences.
The reason that it's good is because they have the actual green and like the green side shots and like actual putts and like it builds up to these moments. That's what I was like skeptical of.
Make real putts. What it was going to look like? Green and
that's what I was. I'm like, oh, they're going to be putting into a screen here. How's it going to work? But they have the actual green, so that's what I've liked. And it's just,
you know what else I like? I like how far.
It's nice to dream about playing golf in mid-January. Yeah,
I like how far the screen is from where they hit it.
Yes, yeah, so you can
see
actually
see the ball flight for 50 yards or whatever.
I've enjoyed it more than I expected. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, good. Good. Couple injuries.
Yeah.
Big injuries starting in Montreal. Caden Gooley out for what could be the rest of the season.
We did Hockey Central yesterday.
Lacerated quad recept muscle.
Our own Eric Engels did a nice bit about how effective Gooley has become and how many shots he's blocked. And in that segment, he said, this is a guy that's going to become a household name for, you know, Montreal Canadiens and for hockey fans. And that night,
the video is awful. The fall he takes. Yeah, he just it's the way he fall. I hate it.
I'm not gonna be watching that.
No, that's one that I don't want Jake to play. But he's just the way he goes off. Extreme pain. Having a great year for an upstart team. You know, it sucks.
Oh, I've got an article I didn't share yet today, but it's about teams who find themselves in a playoff hunt when they didn't plan on it going into the year and what they should do. Montreal is featured in it. Calgary, another team that's featured, actually probably Calgary the most, but losing Gouley hurts. They're going to have some decisions to make here in a few weeks.
Heiskanen?
Also big news, and that was off of an attempted check by Mark Stone, a controversial hit last night.
Vegas
versus Dallas.
I grabbed Pete DeBoer from postgame. He was asked about it. Derek, there's a clip in there, him talking about it, Pete DeBoer clip.
No, listen, I mean, you know what? I've coached Mark Stone. He's not a dirty player. He's not trying to hurt anybody. I know that. But that doesn't mean, you know, they can't call a five or at least look at it. That was my argument with it. But, you know, just pray that he'll get some pictures and we'll see.
Hockey guys love calling x-rays pictures.
They do.
Keith used to call it pictures all the time.
It's an MRI. It's it's a very deep, multi-dimensional x-ray.
Also, hockey players or hockey people don't know what they're doing. They just know someone needs to look at something.
They
But it's way better. It's way better than someone saying, now we're going to look at the tape.
Yeah.
It's like, they haven't had tape in 25 years.
Yeah. So, but it is awkward because Stone is reaching for a puck on the other side of Heiskanen's body and seems to lose his own footing into the knee, which is a bit reckless.
Did he get tripped or did he?
Didn't get tripped.
Did he hit a rut?
He starts to lose his footing as he's getting juked.
This is a guy with a bad back, and he's been out for long length of time. He's not. There's just I'm with DeBoer. There's no way this guy's going in and
not trying to hurt him.
No,
but it doesn't mean it's a reckless play.
Could be a penalty.
He put the other guy in danger, and now Dallas without Heiskanen.
Oh my God.
That is maybe the most devastating. Like you go around the teams and take one guy off. Tough to hurt a team more than removing Heiskanen from Dallas. Yeah. Well, the rest of their D is...
Finland, Håkanpää may draw in now.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a Håkan party. It's going to be great. Is he able to skate? Does he play?
No.
Do we even know?
What a great opportunity for the Leafs to find out, though.
Right, they'll get to evaluate. Right? Well, if they want to evaluate... Håkanpää
plays in the Four Seasons. It's like
it's
a free look.
Four Seasons.
Or Four Nations.
Is there any hillbillies at the Four Seasons?
Why? I'm getting
Knives
tired.
Is in it.
Four Nations.
They're scouting their own guy.
It feels like we've been talking about this for four seasons.
It does. They could put Håkanpää in a game if he can skate. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But just to go back to the Mark Stone thing, he's not going to lunge
at
his head. It wasn't like it was his leg or like he was extending an arm. It was he went head first into his knee. He's not going to launch that into his knee.
It's a reckless thing. Yeah, you can't drive recklessly and accidentally hurt someone and go, I didn't mean to.
No, of course. Totally agree.
So Grubauer is the answer to the tease from before the break. Oh,
yeah. That's right.
Goaltender on waivers. Schmill a year. .890 save percentage.
The writing was on the wall when they signed Decord to a five-year, $5 million contract. So, will we see a sod situation like in St. Louis where they actually buy him out? They may just put him in the minors and then buy him out in the summer.
As long as they buy him out, because Grubauer is not going to agree to terminate his contract. He's going to say, pay me one way or the other. So, that won't be like sod in that way.
What's he got left on his deal?
Two more years after this one.
At
5.9
almost.
Mil.
Okay.
$12 million.
We got $5 million. Do we need any more Canucks talk or Crosby talk? Because
hold on, just
5 minutes. Did I say that right?
That you said. I think you said $5 million.
I think I did too.
Is there any outside of how to balance the sheets? Is there any team right now that could look at Grubauer and say, "I'll take a flyer on that"?
Can I give you his four seasons?
Philly.
Four seasons.
There's no reason.
They got stinky goaltending, the worst in the league, and if this guy can be decent.
You got to assume that Seattle would have offered teams, I don't know, $1.5 million to take it, $2 million. Would you take him at four, Grubauer?
I read you his seasons since he arrived in Seattle and signed that contract? His first year in 55 games, he was an 889 save percentage. In his second season in 39 games, he was an 895. In 36 last year, he was an 899. And in this season, through 21 games, he is an 866. That is...
To answer your question, Kipper, no.
Yeah.
That is...
50% won't get it done.
Can you talk about the worst return...
whatever you're paying him.
The worst return on investment for a contract ever?
I'll tell you. Jack Campbell's under contract till 2030. You're getting paid till 2030 with the Oilers.
Right on that one there, buddy. That one, but that's crazy. That's, you know, and like... Before that, he was 917, 916, 922, 923. And it's just like, bang.
All right. And Sid just put a stop to all the talk one last time, I think, yesterday.
I
have the quote. Would you like me to read it?
I do want you to read it. Yeah.
I know how speculation works. Everybody's looking to talk about different things, different scenarios. Crosby told Taylor Haas of DK Pittsburgh Sports on Tuesday. I can't control that. I don't know where that comes from. I don't think that it's something I'm going to discuss every time that someone speculates something. I'm not going to answer that every time it happens. All my energy is here.
That's what you should say. That's exactly what you should say. And now it's over.
Really over.
Good job, Sid.
Yeah. People like, get her going.
You know.
Get her going.
I just think that's, you know, you kind of put that fire out. They're not going to move them. Who knows? Maybe they'll do something else. But
You had somewhere you wanted to go?
Well, just Vancouver before we're done. Rutherford's comments. We kind of opened up the hour with it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I still believe that JT Miller's going over Petey, but there is the possibility that you may have to deal with this after the season's over, before his no move kicks in July 1st, and I'm talking about Pettersson.
Really?
Well, you don't want to completely embarrass yourself with a move that you think you have to make that really does them no good.
No, you don't, but if they can make it work, then just make it work. If you can make it till June, can we just make it work?
I don't think the Rangers will, even if they miss the playoffs, won't trade for him because they think that they can come back and be a great team next year with him. Mm-hmm. So maybe Jimmy waits and does that deal at the draft.
Wow. I think that's a tough pill for the Canucks and their fans to swallow. Like, living like this, you know, chaos under your roof. They're a point back of the Flames, I think.
Just make the wild card. Make a trade no matter how bad it is just to do it.
That's literally what everyone has been saying is going to happen. The president yesterday said that's what's going to happen.
I think there's still a package out there with Petey and Dylan Cousins. I think there's something there.
I mean, that would be great. That would make sense, right? Buffalo looking to up their ceiling a little bit.
Some people just hate Dylan Cousins. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? A lot of people hated Sam Reinhart in Buffalo, too.
Jack Eichel wasn't very popular either there.
Neither was Jake McCabe or Brandon Montour.
Oh, my God, stop.
They did like Mark Stone, though, didn't they?
Yeah. No.
Best traded players.
He was Ottawa.
That could win a Stanley Cup. We should do a best trade. Like, we should just pick traded players off of teams and put them together.
But you can do it with Buffalo and put together a pretty good team. It's scary.
See what roster you'd like best.
Quickly, before we go, I'd like to formally apologize to our national audience. I forgot to put the Leafs jersey down.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You do that on purpose.
No, I completely
Your
forgot.
Job is no, to get the Leaf jersey off on our national
Sorry,
hour.
National audience. I love
They're
you.
They're a team in the nation. It's okay once in a while.
Once in a while.
Once in a while.
Today's the last day. I promise.
All right. You heard it from Sammy. Our thanks to Billy Guerin and Jeff Jackson. Five games on tap. Enjoy yours, and we're back here tomorrow to cover it all on Real Kipper and Bourne.